Thanks. I'm very pleased to be here with you today.
Of course. So I think this will be, this will be a great way to kind of let our clients and let some of the community know, a little bit about what mindfulness is, right? And how mindfulness is being used and how we use it in, conjunction with modern, American medicine, whether that's like physical therapy, whether that's prescription from a doctor, so on. So, before we get like into it, would you mind like giving us and giving the listeners like a little bio like about you and where you're from?
Yeah, sure. I'm a certified mindfulness meditation teacher with a background in biomedical science and additional training in complementary modalities. And I've lived in the US for about 17 years, and I have experience working in a number of different countries, including the UK and Australia.
Great. So I guess I'll do a little introduction for myself as well for listeners who don't know. My name is Gabe Kresge. I'm a doctor of physical therapy. I work at Kinetic Physical Therapy at our Westchester location. I'm the director there. I'm from Pennsylvania, right? I grew up in the Lehigh Valley, and I went to undergraduate at Arcata University, and then I graduated from there with a bachelor's in biology and moved to Washington, D.C., where I went to George Washington University and got my doctor of physical therapy there. Worked down there for 2 years, and then I recently moved back here about 2 years ago to take this position at Kinetic. And one of the things for our listeners that we do here at Kinetic and what we try and advocate for in the community is really interconnectivity and collaboration with all of the healthcare professionals in our area, right? As well as other resources just for our community, for our patients and everything. And I mean that's how I ended up meeting you, Debbie, right? I mean, you just kind of came up to me when I was in the gym, right? I was at ACAC, where our clinic is, and you had approached me while I was doing screens, right, about if I knew anything about mindfulness and if I would wanted to, develop a program together. And that was, it was very well timed because I was really trying to start something similar, and it had been something that I had always given my patients, whether it was like an app or just kind of told them about, but I never really had like a resource to give to people, like a person to send people to. So that being said, how did you get started like teaching this?
Well, I first started a mindfulness practice, a personal mindfulness practice, when I was about 19. My mother had been one who was trying to encourage me to breathe. And to be honest, at that age, I was far more interested in aerobics than breathing and sort of monitoring my body-mind connection. But she was really sort of passionate about yoga and, I guess, different complementary modalities. And I found that it was really helpful when I was a student. It helped me cope with stress and challenging life circumstances. But then I did spend quite a lot of time in my young adult life, probably being somewhat mindless, sort of moved away from the practice
Right, like
until, sorry, what was that?
I said, like most teenagers, like everybody, right?
Yes. And then when I was pregnant, I decided that I really wanted to start incorporating aspects of yoga and mindfulness into my life again. And started adopting a more regular practice, and then really fell in love with the practice, I think, and started taking more formal classes and teacher training. And then a couple of years ago, I injured my back. And I think the day I saw you at ACAC, I was really excited because I had finally resumed regular classes at the gym after a number of months being out of action. So when I injured my back, I was really very glad to have my mindfulness practice to fall back on because my daily activities were very limited and I wasn't able to do any exercise. I was housebound or homebound for a period of time, which I'm almost viewing as practice for the stay-at-home period that we're all experiencing now. The benefit that I'm experiencing is I don't have the pain. But going back to mindfulness practice, it was really, really helpful for me to have learned how to use mindfulness to cope with pain. And it was something that I certainly practiced myself. And when I recovered, felt that this was something that other people might benefit from. And so I developed a 4-week program, which is based on the mindfulness stress relief program that was developed in the 80s, but I've consolidated aspects and also drawn and pulled in my own resources from my own experience, and I offer a 4-week program.
Okay, that's great. Would you be able to just, so for everyone who doesn't know, just like the basic overview, someone comes up to you, someone comes up to me, and they just ask, what is mindfulness meditation? How would you explain that?
Yeah, sure. And it's a very common question. A lot of people think it's really just being calm or being relaxed. And that might be an outcome of practicing mindfulness. But really what mindfulness is being present. It's a state of being, and it's a state of being present in the current moment without judgment, and just recognizing what's going on around in our lives. And it really helps to live our lives more fully, and we engage with our senses, and that helps with being present.
Great. I would agree with that. I mean, I definitely think, like I had told you before, just with the use of an app had started using mindfulness. It was something that we learned as well in my curriculum, right? So as I was graduating my third year of PT school, it was a topic that was brought up and something that we actually did in class. I remember doing a mindfulness session with one of my professors, because there's a lot of research with patients and with clients who deal with long-term, what we would call chronic pain, so pain that's lasted over, 6 months, is very helpful. And I remember doing it, and I remember thinking, it's hard, right? It's not easy. And, it's something that I kind of thought, I don't really know what it was. I don't know what I thought it was. But, being able to clear your mind sounds like you're not doing anything, but it's actually one of the hardest things to just not think about anything.
It is difficult, and that's why I call it a mindfulness practice. And the practice is, a lot of people say, my mind's very busy, I don't think I can do this. And I say to them, the fact that they notice their mind is busy shows they're already starting to be mindful. And I do offer guided meditations as well. One of the things that I think my 4-week series offers, which an app can't provide, is the fact that I'm coming to this with both a educator experience and also personal experience. And I provide clients with the information so that they can understand why I'm sort of going along certain paths. We discuss a little bit about the brain and neuroplasticity. We talk about analogies with some of the movement that they might be doing with their physical therapist. So as you recall in the past, I've also sort of bounced off you to try and find out about movement that perhaps we can incorporate in the class, so that there's mindful movement and also, it's like going to the gym. It's not something that somebody can just go and do once off and expect there to be a benefit. One can go to a yoga class or a gym workout, and you might feel great, but really the benefit comes in the regular continuous practice. And the same applies to a mindfulness practice. And so that's why I've developed a 4-week course, because there needs to be that commitment and that sort of ongoing continuity and sticking with it. And it isn't easy at the beginning. It is difficult. But that's why I think to do this in small groups like I do really benefits the attendees because they can share the challenges they're having. I can offer my own experience, and an app doesn't offer that. So right. These are some of the things that I think we can get. But at the moment, obviously, it's not in person, but still can be shared via webinar or in small group discussion.
Right. And this, you know, it's something that I would equate to, and you can tell me if you agree or not, especially with something that, you know, takes a while to get the hang of. So, for example, let's say, like on my end, it's like strength training, right, or exercise. You know, what I tell people is it doesn't happen overnight, right? It takes, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to see like any like really big change, right, in your strength. But really, the true benefit comes in the you creating a good habit, right? And it takes a while to create a habit. And after a while, when you develop a habit, you know, we're all slaves to habit. We're trying to develop good habits. So when you end up developing a habit of, you know, exercising, right? It's not like, it's like you're addicted to it, right? It's like, even though like you need to do it, you need to exercise, and it just becomes part of your life. I would assume that this would work in the same kind of way, right? It's not like you're ever going to be as strong as you can be in terms of strength training. You can always do a little more. You can always get a little better. I would assume that the same principles would stand for mindfulness, right? You can always get better. It's about the constant practice of it and becoming a habit. And that's where you see the change in your life. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. The reason that change doesn't happen overnight is because the brain needs to change, and the neuroplasticity in the brain changes. So new neural pathways are built as people practice mindfulness. And MRIs can show that different regions of the brain have different activity and strengthen with mindfulness practice. Some of the evidence-based studies that have been done, or the clinical research that have been done in this area, have done studies that have lasted up to 52 weeks. And of course, that's really impractical for a lot of people to commit to. And so when most people, even if they get involved in an 8-week program, will experience their benefit, but it's difficult for people to incorporate an 8-week program in their lives. The research does show that some programs have been as short as 2 weeks, and it's not totally clear whether that's sufficient time for the brain to actually sort of change and develop these new neural pathways. So that's why I've come up with something that's 4 weeks, because there's a reduced attrition rate. Really, people can stick to it because it's just once a week for 4 weeks when they are actually having the time with me. Obviously, they need to do their own personal practice at home as well. But what often happens is if the program is much, much longer, there's a much higher attrition rate. And really, we also cover things like primary and secondary pain as well. So there's a lot of discussion about that. I'm sure some of your patients perhaps ask you about the difference, primary pain being the actual sensation in the body, and secondary pain is more the frustration that right. comes with either the ongoing pain or the reduced ability and the reduced independence, et cetera, that's associated with,
right.
with ongoing pain.
Well, that kind of takes me right into my next question. So, you know, in terms of, well, one, your own experience, but then two, you know, what the research is showing, you know, what are the benefits of developing your practice? So what would you experience, and what would our clients experience, you know, in their lives when they start to use this practice?
Well, scientific research suggests that a regular formal practice can help induce a calm mind and improve states of well-being, reduce anxiety, perhaps even make us kinder. And the practice of mindfulness with regards to pain, it facilitates something known as detached observation, which helps reduce the experience of suffering. And that can be really helpful for people who have ongoing pain.
Okay.
in my own situation, I think, you know, one can manage with, well, I could manage with pain for a couple of weeks. I sort of tried to push it away and tried to sort of push through with life. And eventually ended up seeing a doctor. It wasn't
okay, great. I think, so in terms of, you know, when you do this, like during the week, is this like something you do every day? Is this something that has to be performed multiple times a day? You know, in terms of the prescription for this, how, you know, how long and how often do you or your clients, you know, perform their practice?
Well, really what I'm doing is I'm offering education to people so that they can empower themselves. It really is, this isn't a passive approach. This is something where they need to have commitment and intention. And I can suggest to them that they practice mindfulness. They're starting with 5 minutes, three times a day at the beginning. And by the end of the 4 weeks, we've moved up to 40 minutes, ideally twice a day. But really, as I say, the commitment needs to come from them. All I'm really doing is providing the education.
Right. Okay. So, you know, from your own experience, you know, when you had your back pain and you were going through this and you doing, you know, this practice, how was it for you? Like, how long did it take you to start seeing a difference in your life and in your pain and all those other factors?
Well, I had already a practice to fall back on. So it's difficult to answer that question specifically. But for me, because I wasn't able to practice my daily habits or conduct daily habits and daily activities, it really helped me with the frustration of that. I love to read, I love to hike, and so being homebound and just only being able to lie on my stomach, lie on my back, walk a little bit around the garden and then repeat the same, unable to read and unable to certainly hike, it helped me deal with, I guess, what I mentioned earlier, the secondary pain specifically, and also with regards to the primary pain. It helps with that detached observation. So for me, I was able to implement things very quickly. But I think for somebody who has chronic pain, it could take a couple of weeks to sort of get past that initial feeling that my mind is busy, am I doing this right? Because there really isn't a right or wrong way to do this. But it helps to have some guidance about the challenges that one might experience, because a lot of it is also being able to sit with things that are unpleasant or pleasant and be okay with that, which is something I'm finding very helpful to have. I'm finding it very helpful to have a mindfulness practice at the moment with us all being home and
yes,
the uncertainty and instability that people are experiencing. So how are you doing at the moment with things? Is your clinic open or?
Yes. So, you know, we've definitely adjusted as well. Kinetic is open. You know, we're seeing our priority patients only. So those that are post-operative and that need, you know, to be in the clinic, everyone that can, you know, stay home, we're encouraging them to stay home. And we've been doing a lot more telehealth and telemedicine, which we are now participating in. So that helps because we're able to stay in touch with our patients, progress or regress, you know, what they're doing at home, develop home programs for them in the meantime, you know, until this all blows over. Now, in terms of, so for everyone listening, for our clients as well, you know, say they are, you know, stuck at home right now, if they're in pain or not, how can they start this? How can they reach out to you? How can they get involved?
Well, I would encourage them to take a look at my website, which is the Art of Awareness website, www.theartofawareness.studio. And they can also email me at mindfulmeditation@yahoo.com. In addition, I will be putting out a free meditation. If people want to email me, I will provide that free. And I do offer a four-week series, which start every month. So I'd be very happy to answer any questions people have about that.
That's great. That's awesome. And again, you know, I think especially, you know, given the situation now, I think this could be, and I think it will be, you know, a great resource for people, right? Not just for our, you know, chronic pain patients, but really, you know, anybody dealing with pain or dealing with, you know, the regular stress or anxiety, right, of everyday life, right? You know, people don't know that there's resources out there, you know, that are different than over-the-counter prescriptions, you know, different than like the normal, you know, modern type of medicine. I think it's great that people have, you know, the access to that. And that's really what we're trying, you know, to bring to Kinetic, you know, to the community in general. We're just trying to give people options and give them resources for, you know, these programs and these modalities and these practices that, you know, are proven to work, right, that have research backing them, right, which is why it's a great, you know, it's been great working with you and collaborating with you. So, you know, thank you so much for coming on today and speaking with us. Anything else you want to leave our listeners with?
Nothing comes to mind at this time, but thank you very much for having me.
No problem. All right. Thanks, Debbie. Take care. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.